Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture from the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. John writes to those individuals who have a new relationship. They have been taken from the world. They have been separated from the world. They have become the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know them, even as the world did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. The world refuses to accept the way of God, the teachings of God, the law of God. The world does not choose to walk in the path that God has set forth, and therefore the world does not know God. Because the world does not know God, it does not know us. It does not know the sons of God. Because we have chosen to walk according to the rule of God, we have chosen to become the people that God would desire us to be. This requires that we separate ourselves from the world. We must not fashion ourselves according to the world. We must not seek the favor of the world. We must not desire the fellowship of the world. We must be the sons of God. We are the sons of God because of the love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." This love has been manifested in a way that is beyond our human understanding. We cannot really imagine nor comprehend the love that God has for us. One of the great comforts in this life as we live for God is that God loves us. God cares for us. God comforts us. God blesses us, God takes care of us, because we are the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love. Love so amazing. Love so divine. Love so sure. Love so steadfast. The love of God continues to abide, continues to abound. Let each one of us envelop ourselves in the love of God. Let us choose to become the sons of God, because God has loved us, and through that love He has allowed us to become the sons of God if we will but choose to obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. As God has manifested this love, we must accept this love. We must choose to become His sons. We must separate ourselves from the world about us, the lusts that are a part of that world, the sins that are a part of that world, and fashion ourselves according to the design that God has presented unto us through Jesus Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This great love of God has been magnificently declared by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the third chapter of the Gospel of John, we have a unique discussion that takes place between a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus Christ. This man came to Jesus by night and confessed that he was from God. The reason that Nicodemus held this belief was because no man can do the works that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus was aware of the mighty works that Jesus had performed. He was aware of the miracles that Jesus had done. He was aware that Jesus had cast out demons from human bodies. Jesus had healed the blind. Jesus had made the lame to walk. Jesus had even raised the dead. Nicodemus had heard of the fame of Christ as it was spread throughout the region. Nicodemus believed that Jesus was the person that he claimed to be, that he had come from God. He had come to do the will of God. The mission of God was in the purpose and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus. The discussion turned toward the new birth. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus continues, and in verse 16 of John chapter 3, Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, declares the magnificent love that God has for humanity. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God so loved the world. Behold, what manner of love. This love was a revolutionary love. This love was a love of devotion. This was a love of surrender. For God had to surrender his only Son, his only begotten Son. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to live as man, to take upon himself the form of man, even that of a servant. God had sent his Son from the heavenly realm to suffer the abuse of earth, the ridicule of man, and the rejection of man. Jesus Christ had been offered upon the cross of Calvary because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. He gave him in human flesh. He gave him as a servant. He gave him as a sin offering, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God offers everlasting life. The love of God will prevent our perishing, so that we might enjoy an eternity with God if we will but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God loved the world, so loved the world. Behold, what manner of love. Surely your heart will not reject this love. Surely you will allow this love to bring you into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely this love will prompt you to believe on Christ, confess him as Savior, as the Son of God, repent of all past sins, and be united with him in baptism. The love of God can prevent our perishing and give unto us everlasting life, because God has manifested through Jesus Christ this great manner of love. The love of God was the undeserved goodness of a righteous God. You and I had done nothing to deserve God's love. We lived in rebellion. We lived in sin. We were worldly people. Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us when we were yet sinners. God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. A sinner is one who lives in rebellion to God. A sinner is one who violates the purity of God, rejects the teaching of God, and refuses to be governed by God. The sinner lives according to the fashion of this world. The sinner has formed a fellowship, a league with Satan, and follows his devices and is enticed by his schemes. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This was the manifestation of God's love. This was the reality of God's love. God did not simply say, "I love you," but rather he commended his love, in that Christ died for us. Christ did not die for himself. Christ did not die to establish a lasting name for himself. Christ did not die so that he might erect some grand memorial, but rather Christ died for us because we were sinners and we were in need of the salvation of God. Can you imagine a God that would love a sinner, one who rejects him, one who defies him, one who rebels against him, and yet God manifested, commended his love toward us so that we might be saved. Behold, what manner of love. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The love of God has been manifested unto us because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Jesus Christ was begotten of God. He was born of God. You remember that the Scripture teaches and shows us that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin. The young virgin girl was told by the angel that the Spirit of God would conceive the child to whom she would give birth. The power of the Highest would come upon her. The miraculous power of God brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Sin brings death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. When Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians in chapter 2 and verse 1, he said they had been quickened, whereby they had been dead in trespasses and sins. They were dead, spiritually dead, not physically dead, but spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God. The sinner is in death. The wages of sin is death. This is the promise of sin. Sin will bring some pleasure, some enjoyment, and some contentment, and some success while we engage in such a manner of life. But eventually, the success will be removed. The joy will fade. The comfort will become discomfort and trouble. The sinner will die. The wages of sin is death. God manifested his love so that we might live. Through him, life is through God. Life was given by God in the very beginning. We live because of God, because of his grace and mercy. He sustains our life because he is a God who gives and a God who loves. The blessings that you and I enjoy in this life, the prosperity that we have in this life, is because of the love and generosity of God. God has loved us. He has justified freely by his grace. We are been made just through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." The love of God was a great love. The love of God was a magnificent love. The love of God was a undeserved love, and that love has been shown in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died the death of the cross. Jesus suffered this agonizing death because God has loved us. We did not love God, John says, but God has loved us. He has manifested himself to us. He has revealed himself to us. We have life because God has loved us. God continues to love us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation has to do with the payment that was made. Sin demands a payment according to the righteousness of God. There must be an offering for sin according to the righteousness of God. God is a just God, a righteous God. He acts according to a system of justice. There is a system of right and wrong, and God must live according to that system of right and wrong. Wrong must suffer consequences. Right receives blessings. Because we were in sin, God required a payment for that sin, a consequence that had to be made, and Jesus Christ became God's propitiation, God's payment for our sin. Jesus suffered the death of the cross so that you and I might be the sons of God, so that you and I might enjoy the favor of God, the fellowship of God, and so that we might be saved from our sins, and that we might live through Him. I want us to notice three blessings that God's love has secured for us. These are blessings that surely every heart should crave, that every soul should desire. These are blessings that can only be found within the refuge of God's love. These blessings have been secured for us because of the love of God. We can be a possessor of these divine blessings because of the love of God, but we must receive the love of God. We must accept the love of God. We must live according to the love of God. The Bible requires that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we confess the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God was a confession made by the Ethiopian, recorded in Acts chapter 8. When Peter was asked, "Whom do ye say that I am?" He said, "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew chapter 16. We must repent of our sin. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And we must be baptized so that we can be saved. We are not saved before we are baptized. We are saved after we are baptized, because baptism is for the remission of sins. Baptism washes away sin. Baptism presents us as a purified creature before the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. We must accept God's favor. We must receive these blessings through our obedience to the commands of the gospel. What are the blessings that God's love has secured for us? We have the blessing of pardon. We have been pardoned from our sins. We have been set free from our sins. Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus Christ paid a ransom for sin. He paid a price so that we might be freed from sin. We were the slaves of sin. We were the captives of Satan. "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin," Jesus said on one occasion in John chapter 8. We had to be released. We need to be guilt-free. This is what pardon provides for us. Not only have our sins been forgiven through Jesus Christ, but we have been made free from guilt. We are assured that those sins have been forgiven. We are assured and confident that we are in a relationship with God. We come before God in the full assurance of faith, Hebrews chapter 10. At 1 John 1 and verse 3, or 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6, the scripture says concerning Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ became a ransom for sin, a payment that was made so that we might be pardoned and set free. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the wrath to come. Because we have been pardoned from sin, we anticipate life with God rather than being the subject of his wrath. God can be very wrathful towards sin. In Genesis chapter 6, he destroyed the entirety of the world because of sin. In Genesis chapter 19, he destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their perverse, sinful behavior. God has punished Israel in time past according to the words of the prophets, and Judah because of sin. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70 because of sin. God shows his wrath towards sin. Sin will be forever eternally punished. The wages of sin is death, but not just being separated from God, but being eternally separated in a lake which the Bible describes as hell. A lake of fire that burns, causing agony without end. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the wrath to come. We wait for Jesus to come from heaven. Jesus has been raised from the dead so that we might be pardoned from sin. The second blessing that God's love has secured for us is fellowship. We are in fellowship with God. We are the sons of God. We are the family of God. We can walk with God, talk with God. We pray unto God. We call upon Him as Father because we are His sons. Jesus Christ has brought us into a saved relationship with God. Sin had caused alienation. Sin had caused separation. Sin had created a gulf between the heart of man and the heart of God. But Jesus Christ, through the love of God, has bridged that gulf and brought us into fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We were called into God's fellowship by Jesus Christ. The love of God was manifested in the giving of Jesus Christ, his offering upon the cross. And we have been called into the fellowship of God. We know God. We enjoy the presence of God. We worship God. We thank God. We cry unto God. There are times in our life when we cry unto God, when we plead with God, when we call upon God. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that men began to call upon God. And since that day, there are many, many people who have called upon the name of God. You and I can call upon God because of the fellowship that we have through Jesus Christ, because of the love of God. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, they had seen Jesus, they had heard Jesus, declare we unto you. Why do we declare this unto you? Why do we preach this message, that ye also may have fellowship with us? And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John writes concerning the fellowship that he had with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship which those to whom he had written this epistle could have because of the love of God. You and I today can have fellowship with God because of the love of God that has been manifested through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, God promises the church of God at Corinth, "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." God assures this church in the city of Corinth that he would be a father to them. They would be unto him as sons and daughters. God is a father who is kind. God is a father who is giving. God who is a father who embraces. God is a father who loves. God is a father who gives and provides and sustains. God is a father who will not leave us because, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 1:9, he is faithful. God is faithful to the promise that he has made. God says, "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be unto me as sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Because he is the Lord Almighty, he is able to provide that. He is able to secure that for us and is able to sustain us so that we might be forever in the family of God if we continue to be faithful unto God and continue to live according to the law of God. The third blessing that the law of God has secured for us is hope. Hope is so precious because it enables us to get through the difficult times in our life. We can endure difficulty because we hope that the difficulty will pass. We can get through the darkness because we hope that the light will come. We can carry the burden because we hope that the burden will become lifted. We endure because of hope. We are able to live in this world of trouble and disappointment, sickness and sorrow and disease and death because of hope. We believe that things will get better. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Through grace, God, our Father, has loved us, has given us everlasting consolation and good hope. We are consoled by the love of God in times of difficulty. We have hope that the difficulty will pass. We have a hope that our life will continue. We have a hope that we are saved. We have a hope that we will be received into eternal glory. One of the darkest moments in life is death. There is a certain fear in dying. But there is hope in death because of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus 2 and verse 13, Paul said, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." We anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has promised that he will come. When Jesus returned to heaven, he promised his disciples that he would come again. We have the promise that Jesus is going to come, that all the dead are going to be raised. There's going to be a great judgment, a great separation. And those who find favor with God, who have been saved by Christ, who have walked according to his law and been obedient to his commandments, are going to be saved eternally. We look for that blessed hope. We anticipate an immortal home in a land that the Bible calls heaven. We serve God because we believe that we are going to be blessed by God with eternal life and that we're going to live in a home that God has provided. In Hebrews 7 and verse 19, the law made nothing perfect. The law of Moses made nothing perfect. but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. In his love, God brought a better hope than that which could be provided by the law that had been given to Moses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It is my prayer that you would receive this love, accept this love, through obedience to the commands of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.